Kind of opener is that, John?
That was Mr. Ricky Washington.
One right on, Ricky. It's beautiful.
On the soprano sax, and this is the Blue Power Hour, bluepower.com on the internet. Coming live to you this afternoon. And I do believe it's a Thursday afternoon, right, Jeannie?
It's a Thursday afternoon all the livelong day, and it's hot and sunny out here up in downtown Los Angeles.
And you know what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the Sir Charles Blues Lab, and we're even going to phone Sir Charles himself all the way to Tallahassee, right?
Oh, my gosh. You mean we're making a long-distance phone call on my nickel?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, for Sir Charles and all the wonderful things that he's doing, it's certainly our pleasure and our honor.
You got it.
Guitar, sing a little bit.
The Blues Lab is basically it's an ensemble class where we meet twice a week for 2 hours at a time, and then we're each asked to bring in songs particularly pertaining to blues, and then we break the songs down, see what chords they're using, and we talk about the chords sometimes, and then we just try to play it.
Blues is such an open genre of music that anybody can come in and play. There's novices, there's, you know, people who've been playing blues for years are in there.
The Blues Lab is a chance for students to come in and learn the blues, so to speak, from a real blues musician.
They told me about Charles Atkins, this great blues musician who works with Blues Lab, and was very intrigued by what I heard. And one summer, I guess it was summer of 97, I called Charles and introduced myself. And right then, I knew it was going to be something interesting. Charles had me sing over the phone to him.
Charles Atkins, the director of Thorstein Blues Lab, and they say I'm the founder also.
Blues Lab is where education meets blues.
And it's also easy to start learning if you're a beginning musician, because other forms of music, jazz, are a little more technical and take more training.
Blues is kind of like I am, kind of simple, down to earth, but I have a great appreciation for that isn't necessarily simple.
Like a lot of people say, you can't teach the blues. And so what Charles does is he'll play it and he'll give you the basic chords, and he'll just call them out and everything, and it forces you to pay attention, forces you to listen to the music, use your ear.
If you give people a chance to elaborate on what they hear, some of them will start playing what they hear. Other ones, you'll have to point out to them what they hear. It's like fiber. It's like when you eat food, you can't leave the fiber out. Listening and learning by ear is the fiber of your musicianship.
Blues is a spiritual music, more so than an intellectual music. So where some studious musicians may get bored with three chords, 1-4-5, part of the concept of the blues is with three chords you can do many wondrous and spiritual things, and that's a message that he never leaves out.
Blues have exercises, and they come out in little things like... thing, but blues has thousands of these little small things, and they're just like all little things that mean a lot. They mean a lot.
John.
Hey, guess what? Everybody, we right now have on the line, live and not in person, but in Tallahassee, is it?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee.
Sir Charles.
Charles, how you doing, man?
Cool, John. I hardly hear you, man.
I know. I'm way away from you, brother man, but I can hear you real good. How's everything in Tallahassee? I used to live there, man.
Tallahassee?
Yes, sir.
This time it's a cool, kind of windy day, windy evening, that is.
Listen.
Everything's really mellow.
Excellent. You're playing a gig tonight?
Are you playing tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dane, you're going to have to relay.
Yeah.
I would like to ask a question, Dane. Ask Charles how he got the idea.
Charles?
Hey!
How did the Blues Lab start, Charles?
The Blues Lab? We got the Blues Lab kicked off back in 1991. We found some people over in the School of Music over at Florida State University, which has, I believe, the number one team in the country right now. To all the football lovers, went over there and found some people really interested in having some blues around. So I asked if we could install a program and call it Blues Lab, and they didn't hesitate for a second. It's the greatest thing. Students there really have taken well to it.
How are you subsidizing it? How are the instruments being provided? By whom and by what?
Well, we're doing our own benefit that we do a little community thing we do every year to raise a bit of funds for our instruments. Sunday are going to stage a song fest, and we are not just having blues songs, but we're having all types of songs.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, at these blues labs, who all teaches these students, and what is the general age group of these students?
General age groups in this particular blues lab is... We don't have a limitation on age.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with the college students at this particular one.
Uh-huh.
And most of them are 19, 20, you know, that age, 18, 19, 20.
Uh-huh.
And, but we do have older, we have grad students who've matured some, and we've even had people 40 and close to 50. That was in Blues Lab.
Wow. Well, that is a good thing. And we have Ricky Washington here with us. Ricky, are you also a member of his Blues Lab?
Well, I must be a member emeritus because through Dane, we have a Blues Lab over at Hollywood High School in the middle of Hollywood on Sunset and Highland.
Uh-huh.
And we have some kids over there, and they're playing the blues. And they're learning how to solo and how to write songs. And we're going to have a blues off.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that after we get through with Sir Charles here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah, this is long distance. They made me call you on my nickel, Sir Charles.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
I'm glad to be obliging and glad to see people out there so interested in the blues. You know, it's the first American music, and America couldn't claim a music until blues happened, of course, you know.
That's right.
Prior to that, we were crossing the ocean to get some music played. So,
you know, Americans are big believers in importing, and it's a good thing in some ways, I suppose, because we've got some of the greatest music in the world coming out of America because of the blues, which is native born. Where are you playing tonight?
This is Dave's CC Club.
Uh-huh.
It's about the greatest blues club anywhere.
out in the woods, hey, Charlie?
Out in the woods. we rip it up out here. We have a nice fireplace outside, and it's getting that time of year when people love to gather around that also and just fellowship.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
But tell him we're going to cut him loose now.
Yeah, we're going to let you get back to your sound check. And thank you so much for even starting up with the St. Charles, is what I'm going to call it, not Sir Charles, with the St. Charles Blues Labs. And right now we're going to cut into a Sir Charles Blues song. And thanks for joining us this afternoon or this evening. And don't get blown away by the wind in Tallahassee.
Yeah, tell him to tell
it. Thank you, Jeannie. I love you guys and keep the good work up, won't you?
We
don't
love
worry.
You, too.
Okay. We
care.
Will.
Take it easy, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Here.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell Automatic Slim to tell Razor Toting Jim. Tell Butcher Knife Toting Nanny to tell Fast Talking Fanny. We gonna pitch a ball down to that Union Hall.
Are we going to pitch a Wang Dang Doodle?
Wang Dang Doodle with Coco Taylor.
Yeah.
All night long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Mr. Dane Gillibrand and Mr. Ricky Washington from the Sir Charles Blues Lab here with us today. And we got to talk to them because they got to get out of here. They got someplace to be later this afternoon.
They have places to go, people to see, and things to do.
But
very
we
important.
Had asked you had asked Sir Charles how he was funding, you
mm-hmm.
know, and
right.
He assumed you were talking about back in Tallahassee.
No.
But we can talk to these gentlemen out here. Ricky, you are the musical director for the L.A. area, or for what is your title exactly?
Actually, right now I'm just the music director for Hollywood High School.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And Dane, how did you get involved with this?
Well, I was a long time, you know, came from South Africa, and I, you know, across the sea, and met up with Sir Charles over in Tallahassee just as his student, and he took me in and really took me under his wing, and I was just a musical hacker. And
so what's your instrument? What's your instrument?
Guitar and bass and uh-huh. Singing and and song and dance kind of stuff. And I was learning these fiddly little scales and I had no place to go for Christmas and everything like that. And so Charles took me in for Christmas holidays, and I used to go and eat apple pie at his place, and I used to catch fish and fry it up in the big fish fry, and it was a full on Southern experience. Mm-hmm. And so Charles is blind, and we'd sit he'd be playing his piano, and I'd be sort of sitting behind him in the darkness, and he'd be teaching me licks, and so it was just a wonderful experience. And the whole Blues Lab idea, I just really thought was something that everybody should be able to enjoy.
So you brought it from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What brought you out to the West Coast? Just a desire to expand this experience, or did you want to come out and try your chops up against these people out here? Or?
Well, I was sort of into film. I went to film school at Florida State University, and I didn't realize, that it was music, that was calling me, mm-hmm. all along. And I sort of spent, a year or so in the film business, sort of traveling around. And I just kind of realized, after coming back from New York City, that it just wasn't my bag in that way, and I wanted to do something good, and the idea of putting together some blues labs for kids,
mm-hmm.
And getting them instruments and drums and guitars and things just got me really excited,
mm-hmm.
and so I sort of started researching it and found out that for not a great deal of money, you can get a little blues lab together, a couple of guitars, drums, and PA, PA system, and a mic, and you've got a rocking little thing.
Yeah, but you know what else it does? It does for kids. It does amazing things for kids with self-confidence, being able to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I know because of my son, and what it's done for him, you couldn't buy mm-hmm. anywhere. So now you guys got together.
Yeah, how old were you when each of you guys started playing? First of all, I wanted to get a little background on Ricky, who was our opener with that beautiful
soprano sax
solo. So
I was 12 years old when I started playing.
And were there musical influences in your life, like your parents, or where are you from originally, too?
I'm from Los Angeles, and actually, I just walked in school, and they were. They said, "Do you want to play an instrument?" I said, "Yes." And they gave me this. I said, "Well, I want to play the dragon."
The dragon. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the dragon.
That would be the
like a dragon to me.
Uh-huh.
So,
but did they put you in a marching band?
Well, that was actually in junior high school, but I was already interested in playing jazz, uh-huh. And in blues a little bit, and so. Mm-hmm. I wanted to play the saxophone. It was like the voice, and mm-hmm. this is a long time ago, in the early '60s. So. I started playing the saxophone, and immediately I gained the respect of my peers. Immediately,
uh-huh. yeah,
because I could immediately I could.
You could do something they couldn't do for mm-hmm. one,
yeah.
And
right.
also the chicks love you, and you're like the envy of all the boys during that raging time. So
yeah, it was really really wonderful, and I just decided that it was something I really fell in love with, and mm-hmm. I decided to do it for the rest of my life. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing I said. What about you? How old were you, Dane?
Guess probably like 17. That was the thing in South Africa. There was hardly any music education at all. You really had to like push and squeeze to get into some kind of thing. It was usually like extra lessons or a stuffy choir.
Mm-hmm.
With a weird little choir master.
It's like where'd you learn to sing in church? Oh really? Let's hear you sing. Ave Maria.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
sure.
It was just the punishments for not being at choir, being 2 minutes late were just horrendous.
Oh, wow.
And it was just a drag. And, sitting learning to play the piano, there was this sort of crotchety old woman who, really, not conducting.
I remember. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, man. I was an Episcopalian.
Yep, me too.
I remember that, sang in a choir. I tell you, there's going to be a blues off on November the 6th. Why don't you explain that to us, Ricky, what that's going to be?
Well, let's go back a little bit, actually. One day,
Yeah, first of all, we got to get back to where these guys met, John.
Yeah, we
skipped over that.
Well, I got a phone call.
Yeah.
And Dane called and said he was interested in working with some kids with the blues. And just as he was talking, I had some kids playing the blues in the background. I said, listen to this. And he listened to the blues back there. You know, and I said, I have some kids who love the blues. They play blues all day long.
If you let them.
And so we started talking about a concept of having the kids play and create a blues off, which means getting kids from different schools to perform, write their own blues, and to perform them. And so we started talking, and Dane starts coming by around 9 o'clock in the morning. I had a little break, and we start talking about what we wanted to do. And we said we weren't just going to talk. We're going to do something.
Uh-huh.
We're going
to
make sure.
And these kids are writing their own blues. That's part of the rules, is that they have to write these blues. They can't just do standards like Smokestack or anything like that.
Yeah, they can copy, but I encourage them to write their own lyrics and write their own melodies. Because the forms, we want to use some of the legitimate 12-bar blues forms, but right. I encourage them to write their own lyrics. Some of the lyrics are kind of difficult to use in the school setting.
And
some of the parents may object to some of the lyrics sometimes. Some of the lyrics,
but the kids
adult.
Are encouraged to express themselves, and then you just tell them to say fudge when they mean sugar.
yeah. Right. So we start meeting and Dane came by with some gifts, a couple of guitars and a couple of basses.
Now, where did you get these guitars and these
basses? Yeah, let's talk about that. Who the people are that are kicking in here?
Yeah, we've had fantastic support from companies like Sam Ash Music in Hollywood, just sort of new kids on the block in sort of California, very big obviously on the East Coast, but they donated more than a couple of dozen guitars and basses, and so we got. Blues Labs sort of established at four different schools.
Now, what are the other four schools?
Yeah,
are they just
the
California based, or are they?
They're three schools in South Central, Washington Prep over there with Fernando Pullum and his wonderful crew, Lock High with Harvey and Reggie, and Mr. John Spencer over at Henry Clay Middle School.
Excellent.
And
what's
sure.
the response to the kids? Are they just signing up for it in droves, or?
Yeah, the kids are really. I mean, it was really weird going down there because, we got a lot of donations as well. Kurt Kinnert, who helped me, also start the initial Sir Charles organization. He cashed in his 401k plan.
He did,
donated, almost, $4,000 worth of drums and PA systems and things, pig nose as well, Samick guitars.
Ernie Ball you got?
Ernie Ball.
Yeah. Roland Corporation.
Roland has given us a $2,000 keyboard to give away at the Blues Off. To one of the schools. So we, really had some great support.
Now, where is the Blues Off going to be held again?
At the Musicians Institute over on McCadden.
On McCadden. Okay, yeah. That's here in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. That's a great place to have it, of course.
Wonderful. Yeah. Fantastic facility.
Yeah.
And that's November the 6th, right?
November the 6th.
Yeah. At what time does it start?
Probably it's going to be kind of an interactive kind of day. We're going to have master classes with some really great cats coming out. Billy Osborne, thanks to Blue Power.
Billy?
Billy's going to
come
out.
Billy's coming, yeah.
Good old Billy.
Yeah.
Robert Blues guitar, some great cats. L.A. is full of them.
Yeah.
Leo,
what's
his name? Nocentelli?
Nocentelli.
Yeah.
So hoping we can get him.
Well, that's good. I told Freebo, because he played on Freebo's album.
Wow.
And he said, since I can't be there, tell Leo I sent my best.
Fantastic. but like I was saying, when we took those instruments down there, a lot of the kids were like, "Wow, they had never even touched a guitar, especially down in the middle school. They'd seen them on TV,
but they'd never actually seen
never
one.
Touched them.
Are these electric or acoustic guitars that you're letting them hold?
Electric.
Oh, now see that's the key.
Yeah. So that's listen. I know you guys have got to get out of here, and I see Ricky's like.
He's getting
starting to sweat.
Oh no, I'm having a ball.
Well, we don't want to hold you up, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what you guys are doing is an incredible gift and incredibly necessary. Certainly, I have very, very seldom heard of or seen a musician who has learned a musical instrument, turn violent, and shoot up people. And whenever you can replace a gun with a guitar, you are doing a tremendous service to the community. And also by educating them about the blues, about the history of the blues, and the various different types of blues, the Delta blues, New Orleans blues. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different types of blues out there.
Hollers and shouts.
And exactly, you know, call and response, the whole history behind it. That's education about their history, our identity as Americans. And it's just a tremendous feat of accomplishment that you're carrying on this banner, and we're here to help any way we can.
Blue Power's behind you, man.
Right. If anybody would like to send a donation to you and this tremendous cause, how can they reach you?
Check out our website at www.blueslab.com, and you can email me at dane@blueslab.com or call our office, 323-969-7824 or 512-2977 in Los Angeles. Or
yeah, come on. You don't need to use that.
Oh, well,
you get Ricky's home number. His wife would love that.
No, you could just contact me at Hollywood High School if you have any instruments or things that you'd like to donate or something. And that's at 1522 North Highland, and that's 323-461-3891, extension 252.
You have heard it straight from the mouths of great musicians great spirits who are helping the community in their work. And if there's any way we can help, we're with you.
We're here.
The Blues Off is on
November 6th.
At the Musicians Institute. For those who would like to be in attendance, I'm sure it will be a welcome sight.
Absolutely. And fun.
Yes. And he's going to be a jam session sort of afterwards for, you know, anybody who comes down and can play an instrument, young or old.
Sort of like a blues invitational.
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right. Well, we'll be there.
We'll be there.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Roll 'em, Pete.
Okay, well, I don't know what the heck we're rolling.
Just roll it.
Roll what? It's like he suddenly gives me this thing. And
it comes roll number.
Here we go. Back to Blue Power Hour.
It's a little small thing, but blues has thousands of these little small things, and they're just like all little things that mean a lot. They mean a lot.
That's Sir Charles.
Exercise doing. I mean, just to look at it and say, "Wow, that doesn't seem so hard. Maybe I could sing along with it." You know, maybe I can sing along with it, and before you know it, they're singing.
winds his words loud and thirds is also sad. The eagle flies on Friday and Saturday I go out to play. Yes, the eagle flies on Friday and Saturday I go out to play. Sunday I go to church and I kneel down and pray. And this is what I say, baby. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. You know I'm trying to find my baby. Won't somebody please send her home to me? Yeah. Don't fly away.
special way. And I just have to say, in my life, I love the woman because she's more than I deserve. And she gets me where I live. I'll give all I have to give. I'm talking about I see her in the morning. She's little and she loves me too. My lucky day. Don't fly away.
Now, that's B.B. King.
That is B.B. King.
And is he doing a Leon Russell song?
Yeah, I do believe that is a Leon Russell song. In fact, it sounds like maybe even Leon's playing with him there.
Well, it sounds like he's playing on the piano, and I love the background
music.
Oh,
but that, and before that was Bobby Blue Bland, of course, with
of course.
The ever-present and popular Stormy Monday Blues.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And then there was some kind of accident that happened there when the two guys left, when Ricky and Dane left. But, boy, what a wonderful pair of guys, and
oh,
it's great
absolutely.
What they're doing. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, music definitely changed my life as a teenager. You were a teenager when you first picked up your first guitar.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely changed my life, but I know it's changed yours because you're going to Europe.
That's right.
We're doing these marathon today.
I know. Yeah, we're doing marathon recording today of these shows because I'm heading off to a Grand Slam tour of Europe November 2nd through December 1st. Of 1999.
And you're promoting your new album, right?
Yeah, well, one of them. This is an album that is to fulfill an obligation with ISS, well, no, with record company in Europe. I'm not going to name it because we're not supposed to do that. Already did. And it's produced by Jürgen Koppers and Les Hurdle. Jürgen Koppers, I don't know if you remember, he was the engineer that engineered all of the stuff with Giorgio Moroder on the Donna Summers.
99 Luft Balloons.
Yeah, he did 99. He did Nina and Pure and stuff. So anyway, he took an interest in JC when we had a release in Europe last year or 2 years ago, the Thief in the Night album.
Yeah.
And then for the second release, they wanted us working with a German producer, so they had us work with Jürgen Koppers, and it was really a lot of fun. But boy, talk about a big difference in styles of production.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started out with the basic blues myself and then kind of launched off into other areas and then came back to some of the blues and then to pop. And now it's like Euro pop. But
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think of it?
Well, I tell you, I listened last night for the first time. I had wanted to listen to it since you gave me the album. And I didn't get a chance to listen to it until last night. And I was amazed, Jeannie.
Really?
You're at the top. You're at the top of your form. And I always knew you were talented. But, my God.
Well, John, I really appreciate it, and coming from you, I really consider that a compliment. And guess what? We just happen to have it on. A little nepotism here. I'll promote.
Oh, please. Let's play it.
But you wanted to hear which one, No One's Going Lonely?
The number, whatever number 7 is on there. It's not listed on there.
Well, this is the first time it's ever being broadcast. In fact, it's not even out on full press yet. These are just the test pressings. So let's see what it sounds like.
Let's listen to it.
Thank you. Just the mic's on.
Jeannie, that is absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. I wrote that about my brother, believe it or not.
That is amazing. And the guitar solo.
That's Pappy Macy. Drake Pappy Macy.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that something?
Such a great tone.
Yeah, he's the master of tones, really.
He
uses different combination amps and stuff to get what he wants. And then, of course, Jürgen also matched it up with some really great
sounds,
outboard gear.
Huh?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I tell you what, I wish you all the luck in the world with that, and I don't think you have any problem at all.
Well, we shall see what we shall see. I hope that, it's not a wasted trip. A whole month in Europe.
It's never a wasted trip. Believe me. It can't be a wasted.
It can't be, yeah.
Not with you.
No, of course. It's a jolly holiday with Jeannie. Yeah. So what are we listening to right now?
Well, I tell you what, you're on bluepower.com.
Uh-huh.
And next up here, the blues and gospel are interwoven. And this is one of my favorite.
Unless you're Episcopalian.
That's very true. You can forget that. But we're going to get some slaps about that, I'm sure.
Of course.
The next up is Reverend Kirk Franklin and the family. And that's why we sing.
Mm.
Kick it up there, girl.
Kick it up a notch.
For some who don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise, we as a family in Jesus' name would like to tell you the reason why we sing. Family.
Someone asked a question, why do we sing? Then we lift our hands to Jesus. What do we really mean?
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing.
I sing because I'm free.
His eyes on
me. His eyes on me.
That's the reason.
That's the reason why I sing.
I want to know if you can help me say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Come on, say glory. Thank you, Jesus. You're the
reason why I sing.
Can we say it again? Someone asked.
Someone asked a question.
Oh, glory. Why do we sing?
Why do we sing?
When we lift our hands.
When we lift our hands to Jesus.
Oh, what do we really mean?
What do we really mean?
Someone may be wondering.
Someone may be wondering.
When we sing our song,
when we sing our song,
at times we may,
at times we may be crying,
and nothing's even wrong.
And nothing's even wrong.
This is the reason why I sing the chorus. In here. Glory!
Glory, hallelujah!
You're the reason, Jesus.
You're the reason why I sing.
I know I'm right about it. I just want to say glory.
Glory, hallelujah!
I give the praises to you.
I give the praises to you.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah!
You're the reason why.
You're the reason why I
listen.
Sing.
And when the song is over, we've all said amen.
We've all said amen.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And the song will never end.
And the song will never end.
Listen. And if somebody asks you.
And if somebody asks you.
Was it just a show?
Was it just a show?
Lift your hands and be a witness.
Lift your hands and be a witness.
And tell the whole world no.
And tell the whole
listen.
World no.
When we cross that river,
and when we cross that river,
to study war no more.
We will sing.
The one whom we adore.
The one whom we adore.
Come on, family, let's take it home. I sing because. You're my melody at midnight, Jesus. You're my song in my storm, Jesus. You're the hymn in my heart, Jesus. You're the reason why. Oh, I love you. I love your name, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. For the rest of my life, Jesus, you'll be the reason why I sing.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, I got a little bit of a confession now that the church has kind of been brought up here. You know what?
Why?
Jesus is the reason why I sing.
Absolutely.
But I'm one of these weird ones that is probably most unworthy to even say that, but Jesus is the reason why I sing.
Reverend Kirk Franklin and family, if you ever, ever get a chance to see them.
I've got to go see it.
See them, because they are the most inspirational group on stage I have ever heard. I mean, you come out feeling... like,
well, I feel great. Just they took the words right out of my mouth.
I heard this. I was just a short story. I had had a very, very bad day, and I was driving over the hill, and I was depressed and, you know, kicking myself and calling myself an idiot. And I just punched the radio on, and that song came on the radio.
Wow.
And turned me around, absolutely turned me around. And then they came to the Wiltern Theater. And I saw them there, and they completely blew me away. So if you ever, no matter where you are, go and see Kirk Franklin and family.
I'm sure that would be a very uplifting experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the next cut is Mr. Percy Mayfield. And it's a live cut.
No kidding.
Please send me someone to love.
It's called Send Me Someone to Love. I call it a prayer of peace. Heaven, please send me to all mankind. And understanding. And peace in mind. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Someone to love. Show the world how to get along, oh yeah. Peace will enter when all hate is gone. But if it's not asking too much, Please give me someone to love. I did. I lay awake nights and ponder world trouble. Oh, and my answer is always the same. Lord have mercy. That unless man put an end to this damnable sin, why, it will put the world in flames. What a shame, just because I'm in misery. Oh yeah. I don't live for no sympathy. No, no, no. But if it's not as too late, please send me someone to love. What, brother, what? Send me someone to love.
Hear my cry, please, my king. love me, baby.
Irma Thomas, one of my favorite lady singers, the ruler of my heart, a Naomi Neville tune.
Is Naomi Neville related to the Neville
brothers? Of course. Aaron and Ivan and all the rest of them brothers.
Boy, what a talented family. Could you imagine what it'd be like to live with them?
Yeah.
My gosh, it'd be wonderful.
That was two live cuts in a row. First, Mr. Percy Mayfield. Please Send Me Someone to Love. A great standard now. Now a standard.
When was that recorded anyway,
do
you think?
I really don't know when that was recorded, but he's been away from us for a while now, so it's kind of old. But Irma's still around, and if you like this, you can get this as from Paula Records, Irma Thomas Live, called Safe With Me. And Irma
Thomas.
She's
got a great voice.
Oh, well, she had hits. She had hits in the late 50s and the early 60s. She was just amazing.
Wow.
And one of these days we're going to do a whole show on her. We could just go forever. So I guess now, Jeannie, it's about time to get out of here, right?
Oh, no, see, here it comes. Here comes Red. The ghost.
He always comes in when we need him, right?
You know, well, I don't know if, Saved by the Red. No, yeah. Actually, that just means it's time for this segment to be over.
Absolutely. Well, we're sorry to leave, but this is a Blue Power Hour here with John Reese and Jeannie C. And we've been having a great time talking about the Sir Charles Blues Lab, and we're going to get a lot of people involved with this, Gene. You want to push this across the United States and teach lots and lots of kids how to play the blues.
Yeah, it's an intrinsic part of musical training, and as a musician, I could say that the knowledge of the blues is probably one of the most critical foundations that
absolutely.
We can have.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Please support any kind of music programs you have in your local school areas, and do your part to spread the news, share the blues.
Absolutely, Jeannie, I love you.
I love you too, John R.
I want to thank all the people here on BluePower.com to make this happen for you. Mr. Mike Tope in San Francisco, who is our very, very fabulous webmaster.
And David Kimmelman,
absolutely.
Our marketing guy.
Absolutely. And Alec Biggleson, mm-hmm. who's our banker, who's trying to keep us afloat at this very moment here.
Thank you, Alec.
Mr. Mike Martinez. And also, we have Mr. Paul Rabbit now, who's just come on board. We're very, very happy to have him. We're going to have to get him on the show here one day.
And you have us.
That's right.
And we'll be back again for another segment of Blue Power Hour at BluePower.com.
BluePower.com. We love you. God bless you.
Come see us again.
Absolutely.